Welcome to VSiN's primetime action, powered by DraftKings on a Tuesday night. Skill Alexander, Matt Brown, Danielle Alvari, and Kelly Bidlin taking you around sports. Not only taking you around, but betting sports, primarily through the lens of in-game betting. We got some pre-flop bets as well going on this evening. Not really as cluttered as last night, if I can use that word, with football and a hockey Stanley Cup final game. More just baseball tonight until 6 p.m. Pacific and 9 p.m. Eastern. Boy, for those of us who used to live on the East Coast and now live in the Pacific time zone, we were just talking about this off air, Matt. We forget how late some of these games start on the East Coast.
I didn't realize it until I moved out here just how, and this is no offense to people that live on the East Coast, but I mean,
we grew up on the East Coast.
When you come out here and then games are over, especially on a Sunday, right? And that's right. When you really notice it. Football games are over and you're like, I can still watch something else if I want to, or go somewhere, or do something. Like, yeah, there's still day left.
Yeah. I don't know how many Saturday nights in my 20s it was like, all right, watch that Pac-12 game, or like go do something social.
Right,
and it'd be
right.
Like, no Pac-12 game on my couch with a beer.
Are you no longer in your 20s, Kelly? Is that what you're telling us? Is that a breaking news right here?
Yeah, 33, Gil.
Wow, 33.
Old man.
He's peaked.
Holding up well.
His best days are behind him.
And he's been growing the beard for 36 years. It's crazy. Like, that's funny.
To perfection.
Yeah.
All right, let's update some baseball scores.
Yeah, so the Phillies have actually put some runs on the board here. They were down big to the Nationals, but now we're sitting 6-5 in that one. If you want to get in, Phillies plus 210 on the live line. If you were with us last hour, we were talking about the White Sox. We're down 1-0 to Cleveland, but you were getting 3-1 on the White Sox. They have now tied this thing up, so it is now just plus 132 on the money line there for the White Sox, minus 165. If you like the Indians, you don't want to get in on this Yankees and Blue Jays game at 6-1. Yankees over the Jays. Brewers and the Reds, this is an under game for Gil. 2-1 here as we sit in that one. It looks like the Brewers came through in top of the sixth here? Is that when they?
Top of the sixth is where we are now.
Yeah. I guess maybe it was in the fifth that they got that.
They did, yeah.
That they got that run. Looking at a live total, though, of 6.5, so feeling pretty good about that.
Yeah, the pre-flop total was 8.5, so live total 6.5. But, you know, look, this is betting, and we call it gambling for a reason. Last night looked like I was dead under, breezing in, you know, cool. What's the expression? Coasting it.
Coasting.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
First five would have been under tonight. And last night, both. For whatever reason, I chose to play, not for whatever reason, but I the calculus for my bet was full game. So let's see if I can get by unscathed here tonight.
Cubs and the Pirates in the top of the fourth. That one was John Lester starting for the Cubs. Pirates on the board here, 1-0. The Cubs are actually looking for their first hit in that game. If you want to get in on the Cubs, plus 123. Rays and the Mets tied here, minus 122 on the Rays. If you want to get the Mets, they are at minus 104. So not getting any plus money in that one, where we say we kind of like to look for that plus money situation. Not getting it there. Top of the third, so still lots of baseball to go in that one. Marlins and the Braves. Braves up 2-0 early on the Marlins. Minus 625 on the Braves in that one if you want to get in there. And then the only other one with a live line that you can get in on is the Tigers and the Twins. Twins up early 1-0 on the Tigers. Let you know what they think about this Tigers team. Minus 420 for the Twins.
Jeez.
On the money line. With a 1-0 lead.
Late game tonight, 6:45 Pacific, 9:45 Eastern, is Colorado and the Giants. Battle of lefties, Freeland against Smiley. I'm sort of self-loathing here because I thought about playing the Giants earlier today. If you recall, yesterday I was like, I want to bet Johnny Cueto. This is last night. But something tells me I shouldn't. That was a good instinct. Mm-hmm. He got rocked. Giants lost to the Rockies. Giants a half game out of the playoff picture in the National League. My instinct was to play the Giants tonight, and for whatever reason, I did not. And he who hesitates, as they say, that has gone from minus 125 to minus 162.
I think Nolan Arenado not being in the lineup.
Nolan Arenado out
having
of the lineup.
Having a big, I mean, he's a lefty masher. I mean, just absolutely crushes lefties. And
Drew Smiley's been good for the Giants. Mm-hmm.
And with him not being in there, I think that's when that thing started to run.
You know, what's interesting is, what does a player mean to the line? Which brings up a whole another discussion that Matt is talking about right here with a guy like Nolan Arenado. And in baseball, You know, there's no one better. I know statistically there have been better players this year, but really, if you just pick who's a player you want to start a team with kind of conversation, Arenado's in that discussion year after year. What does he mean to align one guy in a baseball order? It's never as much as the casual fan thinks it is. And so with a guy like Arenado, it ought to be 15 cents, 20 cents, maybe depending on the matchup, no more than that. Even that is, you know, reserved for the best players. Where I think more people find this to be a more universal and more interesting conversation is when we talk about football.
Right.
And the conversation in the NFL, let's take the most stark examples. When Tom Brady was in his heyday playing for the New England Patriots, first of all, Tom Brady at home against the Jets, apologies, Jets fans, apologies. Tom Brady hosting the Jets is a different calculus than Tom Brady in his heyday for the Patriots on the road against Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. He means different things to the line. Against the Jets, in a game that the Patriots would be hugely favored, doesn't mean as much. But in a road game against the Packers in his heyday, he means a lot more. But the drop-off from starting quarterback to backup quarterback in the NFL is the most dramatic drops for one player being removed in any of our major sports here in the United States. There's no player in any sport that matters as much as a starting quarterback dropping off the backup quarterback.
And on the other side of that coin, I think a lot of people get shocked when, you know, a stud running back.
Well, this is where I was going.
Yeah, like a stud running back is out of the game. They're like, oh, why didn't that thing move 3 points or something? Right. And it's like, well, you know, we've come to find out over time here as to what the value of positions are. And certainly a replacement level player at the running back position is not nearly as big a drop off. And you could say about some of the starting quarterbacks, even the there's whatever, right. But you know,
well, so bring that up, Broncos, Drew Lock to Jeff Driskel. Does that mean anything?
Right. Is not.
It doesn't
mean
as much as the mainstream media. Oh, this is their guy, Drew Lock. But really in the betting line, which is really the markets we should be paying attention to, ladies and gentlemen, this is why we're here at Primetime Action. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. The betting markets know better than anything. But let's go back to your running back point.
Yeah, so you get these running backs who put up these huge, gaudy stats, and then, you know, they miss a game, and you're looking, you're like, why is this line not going absolutely berserk here? And it's just because the replacement level guy that comes in at the running back position is, in a weird way, not that far off from what you're getting from the starter right there, as unlike a quarterback who, again, gets the ball in his hands every single offensive snap and has some sort of hand in what goes on in every single play. And that's just, you know, this just, you cannot get that in any position other. And offensive linemen are actually the ones that get the biggest, you know, bump outside of a quarterback.
Well, there's exceptions to every rule.
Sure.
And so let's take two case studies from this week, which was just a horrible week in the NFL in terms of injuries and big name injuries, as we know so well. Let's take the example of Saquon Barkley and the New York Giants. Saquon Barkley sadly out for the season for the Giants. However, the Giants happen to be playing the San Francisco 49ers this week, who had multiple injuries. So the effect of losing Saquon on the line, on the betting line, was muted by the fact that San Francisco now has Nick Bosa out for the season, has injuries to Solomon Thomas, has injuries to both Jimmy Garoppolo and Raheem Mostert as well. So we don't really get to see it in the line as we would have if the Giants were playing someone else. But talk to me about Christian McCaffrey. So Christian McCaffrey is done for 4 to 6 weeks. We think probably on the higher end with a high ankle sprain, let's say 6 to 8 weeks almost. Carolina's biggest weapon, clearly, if not the single most dynamic running back in the NFL, one of the top three.
Close to it.
He's got to mean something to the line, right? And what is it that he means, in your opinion?
I mean, if we go by what we're kind of looking at, I mean, it's not really. I mean, I guess you could look at the public kind of reacting maybe just a little bit. I see this line kind of bounced around just a half a point here, but I don't know if that has anything to do with Christian McCaffrey.
Well, so now think about that. That's the interesting thing. So the Carolina Chargers line, we already knew about McCaffrey's injury. Mm. So when that line came out Sunday night after that game, his injury was already built into the line, I think. Mm-hmm. And so it's 6.5 in favor of the Chargers. And Anthony Lynn has already said, once Tyrod Taylor is healthy, he's coming back in the lineup. Justin Herbert back to the bench, which is interesting to begin with. Although, you know, that's a whole nother subject, because there were some stories today that said it was an injection that created the problem with Tyrod Taylor. And if that's true, then you kind of understand why Anthony Lynn is taking the position he is from a liability standpoint. But we'll see how that pans out. Back to the point about McCaffrey. I think if a line had come out thinking that McCaffrey was playing, I think it's a little lower than that.
Yeah.
But to your point, not nearly as much. Mm-hmm. Not debating.
Yeah.
One of the three best running backs in the NFL. Barely a move.
Yeah. Maybe it's 6 instead of 6.5.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
Maybe. 5.5?
Yeah.
But, I mean, the point is that the average fan who, you know, sees the amazing things that Christian McCaffrey does every day, and he does do amazing things. He's phenomenal. But the betting market is not swayed in the way that most people would think.
And really, you look, and if you ever see kind of a full point move outside of a quarterback or something, a lot of times it'll be a super key offensive lineman, because it's just a huge difference a lot of times in these quarterbacks that have, you know, a center, for example. They call it the quarterback of the line. You know, if you have a guy sometimes that goes out and it's kind of a last minute type scratch, you'll see that line move fairly significantly, because people and look, bettors have gotten over time realize the importance of offensive linemen as well, you know, especially as we've dug a lot more into kind of what everything means to what we're betting on, and we understand what offensive lines mean and stuff. But yeah, it's pretty crazy, because you see these wide receivers will go down, or you'll see a running back will go down or whatever, and you have a lot of people who sit there and just can't believe that the line's not massively moving in the opposite direction. But frankly, it's just not that big of a difference in the replacement level player.
And Gil, this was a game that, I mean, I had circled, right, you know, almost on Sunday after we saw McCaffrey go down, knew they were going to be playing the Chargers. And I just don't know that the Chargers have done much this season to be so impressive to be laying 7 points almost against anybody. So that's a side that I haven't played yet, but I have circled. I might be taking 7 points with the Panthers.
Could have beaten the Chiefs. Maybe should have beaten the Chiefs outright. You weren't impressed by that?
I think more Chiefs stumbling out of the blocks than I was impressed with the Chargers.
Chiefs have not looked, you know, full strength Chiefs. Yes. I will give you that. And for those wondering, by the way, the last thing about this, the biggest drop off in recent memory betting line wise between a starter and a backup, I want to say, was in Indianapolis when Andrew Luck was at his peak. Mm-hmm. Who was Andrew Luck's backup in his heyday? It's escaping me right now, but whatever that drop off was,
you're saying before Brissett?
Before Brissett. Yeah. That was the start. It wasn't Brady to a backup, but it was Andrew Luck to his
was
backup in Indianapolis.
Tolzien or something like that.
It might've been Scott Tolzien out of Wisconsin. It might've been.
Yeah. Might've been. might've been.
With apologies to the Tolzien family.
Once again,
sincerely, we're just reporting. we're just the messenger.
Yes,
we're just telling you what the betting line said. Still looking good in my pre-flop under 8.5, 2-1 in favor of the Reds here after six. Complete, is it six complete or mid six there in Cincinnati? The fear with unders in baseball this year is not just, you know, the home run barrage that I endured yesterday in that game having the under, but you don't want to get it to extras this year. That's been a big baseball betting change this year, because the rules state this year that we're starting every half inning in extras with a runner on second. No under is safe anymore. Mm-hmm. So if this game, for instance, were to go 2-2 into extras, and I've got the under on the 8.5, I am deeply concerned still, because if the road team, in this case the Brewers, manages to knock that runner in, and then, you know, the Reds take the approach in the next half of the inning, well, our goal here is just to tie it up, you get the idea.
Right.
Nothing's safe in baseball this year. So, for goodness sakes.
Miniature tangent. Have you been surprised at the way teams have played these extra inning games?
Oh, my God. This is not a miniature tangent. I'm sorry.
Because
There's nothing miniature about this.
Okay, but I've been.
Also, definitely Scott Tolzien.
Scott Tolzien.
Okay.
Good call. Excellent call. Yeah, no, dude, I stopped talking about it. May I call you dude, by the way?
Yeah,
of course. I forgot we were on air for a second.
Yeah.
This was on the run-up to the season, the week or two before the season, and then probably the first week of the regular season. This is all I could talk about. And then I realized no one cared about at all what my position on this. Not a manager in baseball, not a player in baseball cared. So I stopped talking about it entirely. But I came into the season thinking, all right, like, can we bring back the bunt, everybody?
I thought every team would carry a designated bunter.
Bunt.
I just thought every bench would have a designated bunter, and he would just come in and bunt the guy to third, and you would score nearly every single time. But
bunt
that was not
over,
the case.
Sacrifice, fly him in.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Like, and that's why I don't talk about it anymore, because I was told by a major leaguer who heard me saying this, and is a friend of the radio show. He said, here's the thing, Gil, just between you and me. He goes, you're probably right. But none of us want to bunt. None of us are taught anymore how to bunt. It's not emphasized by our managers at all. And there were instances the first week of the season, and I'm sure this has happened since. I just stopped paying attention because, like, no one cares what he told me.
Yeah.
They don't teach it. They don't want to do it. So it's not going to happen. But, okay, I get it. Like, if you're at your top of your order and it's your big bats, I'm not saying you should bunt then. I get it. There's different rules to different situations. But when you're at the bottom of your order, right, and the guy who's in your leadoff spot is actually not that great of a contact hitter, like, there are situations where I'm like, how are they not bunting?
I was completely shocked. The other thing that I talked about, and I talked to actually a couple of collegiate coaches who were saying, they were like, oh, well, and this is before the season started. This is, they hadn't seen this play out yet. And they're like, you know what they'll do? They'll probably take a couple of relievers and teach them how to bunt really, really well. And then they'll just be like the designated bunter. So, like, you're not taking the bat out of the hand of any hitter. Some, that didn't happen either. Nobody's bunting. Nobody cares to bunt.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to just manufacture the game winning run or anything like that. It's crazy to me. Like, I've been from the get go, but yeah, you're right. No one talks about it. So I guess no one cares. I'm the only one, me and you are the only two that care.
Well, I mean, and I'm sure you're the same way. At a certain point, you just kind of stop talking about it because you realize you're like, I'm 1,000 years old.
I'm screaming at the clouds. Apparently,
I'm 1,000 years old, and everybody else is 20 and doesn't care about anything.
Like, nah, dude, you hit the long ball. What are you talking about? I'm like, no,
that's
why
right.
bunt it when you can hit it out of the park?
Well, and again, if that's what's emphasized by coaches up through their system as well, then what are we really talking about?
As we
say this, the Brewers do get their leadoff batter on base in the top of the seventh, and that is a rocket in the gap for the Brewers. So now the Brewers are making noise. Are they going to try to send? No, they're going to have runners at second and third with nobody out in the top of the
Fortunately,
seventh.
Fortunately, you had fat guy running to third there. So,
that would be Vogelbach. He has a name.
Yeah.
Yes, and he is.
No, I have a pole in front. I could see, but the guy was so wide that he was running on both sides of the pole, so it was easy for me to.
Wait till you catch Rowdy Tellez of the Blue Jays. You'll enjoy him running around the bases, perhaps at some point here at another night.
We're going to hit it in an hour, but in case you guys want to get in now, we're still sitting at 6.5 Lakers, 214. And a half on the total in that one. Money line, Lakers minus 265, plus 215 on the Denver Nuggets. So we're still holding steady from where we were when we came on air.
Anything about tomorrow night's game? I know we're jumping ahead to tomorrow, but obviously it's game 4 of the Heat and the Celtics tomorrow night. We haven't touched on this yet. Heat won the first two games. Celtics did bounce back in game 3 to make this a series. We have pretty much the exact same line dealt in game 4 as we have in all the first three games, which is Celtics, I see 3.5 at DraftKings. It's been 3.5, somewhere in that pocket. We still playing it the same way? We're just waiting for one of these teams to fall way
that
behind?
That one for sure, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, there is a chance that, and we saw it in game 1, but we can see this Lakers team. I think all of us, if we step back and we say, okay, of these two games, which one team has the most likeliest chance to blow the other team just completely out of the water? I think we would say it'd be the Lakers over the Nuggets, right? I mean, but I would never say that about this game.
Oh, no.
At all. I mean, and we've seen it. Any 11-point lead, 12-point lead, whatever it might be, the other team is going to make some sort of run.
I think of that series, there's a magnet, right, at even. And then whatever team goes, down, there's just a magnet having them come back. That's again, very simplistic way of looking at it. But that essentially is how evenly matched those two teams are. I'm on record as saying I trust the Heat more than I trust anybody else. So I love particularly when the Heat fall way behind because I feel better in that bet. But as we saw with Kelly Midlin the other night, Kelly with the inaugural middle created on this show, where he expertly, hold on, Kelly, I'm complimenting you, expertly put together a 15-point middle and got the job done. Celtics heat game two. So
I'm trying to think though, did I have the first one or did Matt? Matt had
no, I had the football one.
Yeah, Matt had the first one.
What was
yeah.
your? Well, I'm sorry, Matt. What was
it's
it?
Okay.
That's
it's
all
fine.
Right.
It's fine. We're good. We're good. It was so, Monday. It was, like the second show or so. It was the second show we did. I don't expect you to remember the second show we did.
You expect me to remember 2 weeks ago? That's why so Ben's here back. Keeping our records. Sacrifice fly 2-2 top of the seventh between the Brewers and the Reds.
There's no home runs.
Nothing is safe.
We don't want the easy ones though.
Nothing is safe.
We don't want the easy ones.
What did I say last night? Calm down, Reds. Oh, they didn't calm down. So we're watching that one. By the way, Yankees fans, Garrett Cole getting done against the Blue Jays. A solo shot. The only thing that has put the Blue Jays on the board in this game. Yankees 7, Blue Jays 1. And if you missed it earlier, we had a whole discussion about betting baseball the final week of this strange 60-game season, which, by the way, I've loved. Mm-hmm. In the end, 162 games is too many.
I am fine with 120. If they came out next year and said, hey, we're going to do 120, I'd be like, all right, let's do 120. 120 sounds great.
Yeah, I'm not pining for 162. Yeah. But it's tough this last week of the season, especially with this playoff format, because motivations, which always late in the season are like, well, some teams are already thinking about their vacations. Some teams are going to try to win their division. This is kind of like, and the Dodgers are on record. Davey Roberts is on record as saying, we don't really care if we win the division. Wow. Like that's so counter to how we think about sports, because as fans, we tend to think, well, everybody's motivations are aligned. Well, no. I mean, if you're going to play whoever you're going to play, it's going to be a best of three no matter what. Maybe there's some jockeying for position. Maybe we talked about this before the NBA bubble too, right? With the seeding games. We're like, hey, you think the Jazz want to play this team or that team? And you never know. It's all very nebulous. We're coming back. We'll update everything. The Brewers have scored again. It's VSiN's primetime action powered by DraftKings.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, and new customers get a no-brainer odds boost of 100-1 on any pro football team to win in Week 3. It's easy. Just sign up for the DraftKings Sportsbook app with promo code VSIN, bet $1 on any team to win in Week 3, and if they do, you walk away with $100. Don't forget to use code VSIN when you sign up. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit the DraftKings Sportsbook app for offer details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9 with it. Gil.
Thank you, Danielle. I know what you've been thinking here secretly, all you guys. In your head, you're like, hey, I can't wait to hear Gil's French Open picks. Well, I thought you'd never ask. I actually have French Open picks before we get into the basketball game. I want to throw these out there. Another tennis major upon us coming up here. We went straight from the hard courts of the U.S. Open right to clay. Played the Italian Open this past week. We've got qualifiers going on at Roland Garros right now. So the tournament hasn't started yet in earnest. So you can still bet futures here. And I will just let you know that I've bet a few on each side. On the ladies' side, I have this bet from many months ago on the clay. Iga Swiatek, I believe that's how you pronounce it. Have her at 30-1, clay court specialist at Roland Garros. The ladies' side, much more wide open. No Naomi Osaka. She's opted out of the tournament. No Ashley Barty, or as they say in Australia, Ash Body. She's not in. And just announced no Bianca Andreescu, the 2019 U.S. Open champion, who's a hard court specialist, still fighting injuries. She's done for the calendar year, so that just announced as well. So I do have Swiatek at 30-1. On the ladies' side, and Victoria Azarenka at 12-1. Those are my two bets on the ladies' side. On the men's side, which, let's be honest, not nearly as wide open as the ladies' side, this is where Rafael Nadal makes his hay. He is the king of clay. But let me just say this. On Rosh Hashanah this past weekend, And happy Rosh Hashanah to you, by the way, Matt.
I appreciate it.
I'm not sure if he knows what I'm talking about. Diego Schwartzman on the leaflet beat Rafael Nadal in Italy. Huge upset. But for those of us in the tribe, you know, it's God's work. So I've got Schwartzman at 40-1 at the French Open. Took Schwartzman a flyer at 40-1. And the only other bet I have, just because I like the number, is Andrei Rublev of Russia at 100-1. But this is Nadal's tournament to win. Yeah, it's his tournament to win. It's one of these bets that you don't expect to win, but the numbers are just too good on both of those guys.
Yeah, played out exactly however many times. And no doubt about it. Yeah. That guy is just...
DraftKings odds on those Rublev 100-1 you could get over there. And 33-1 on Schwartzman now. So he's moved down a bit.
Yeah.
Nadal even money.
Little bit of football news here, of course. We talked about Saquon Barkley being out for the season. The Giants have officially come to terms with Devonta Freeman.
Oh.
So he will be, it looks like he will be the guy filling in.
Devonta Freeman, who was just sitting out there?
Just sitting out there.
Waiting for a job.
1 year, $3 million, and according to Drew Rosenhaus, because, you know, of course he's going to chime in here.
Yeah.
He turned down more money, because people don't like money. He turned down more money from other teams because he likes the opportunity with the Giants.
Opportunity code for Saquon is hurt, and maybe I could be the bell cow of this team. Would you like to get in the point in life, Kelly, where you're sitting out doing nothing and somebody's like, hey, you want to do 1 year for $3 million? As a producer? That'd be nice.
Yeah, that'd be pretty nice. I like that he's also getting paid three times as much as Cam Newton this year. So
There's that. Yeah. You see the Bill Barnwell, who does such great work for ESPN, had a tweet, all the quarterbacks, I should say, they got more money than Cam Newton did this year. And it was a list of, let's just not say the opposite of a who's who of quarterbacks.
It would be the opposite.
And at the very end, in caps, he goes, Nathan Peterman.
Oh, man.
He's just killing Nathan Peterman.
I mean, there are many kickers that are being paid more than Cam Newton.
Yeah, Cam Newton, let me just be the first to raise my hand. I had set the bar low for him. He looks great through two games.
I was on the fence because, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, you'd never really know what's going on with these arm injuries and stuff. And so, but, I mean, this guy looks pretty much like peak Cam Newton.
Peak Cam.
Right now. I mean, looks like pretty much peak Cam Newton. And so how many teams are out there kicking themselves right now thinking that they could have had this guy as opposed to who they're going to be trotting out at quarterback? For our New York fans out there, Pete Alonso homer. So they're now up 2-1 on the Rays.
The proverbial must-win situation for the Mets right now on the outside looking in the NL playoff race. And you had one baseball transaction that just sort of dovetails with what we were talking about earlier. Some teams are motivated, some teams aren't.
Andrelton Simmons has decided to opt out for the rest of the season, guys.
For the LA Angels. He's like, hey, how many games do we have left?
I don't need the money. Yeah, keep the game.
I don't really need to be here anymore.
Back to golf.
Quirky, or shall we use the word squirrely down the stretch here in the baseball season. We're coming back at VSiN's Primetime Action. Powered by DraftKings.
Your football betting go last weekend? As you know, there's always room to improve your sports betting IQ, and VSiN is here to help you bet smarter this season. Start your 7-day risk-free trial and place your next bet with confidence. Sign up today and you'll get Point Spread Weekly, our digital betting guide with NFL power ratings and consensus picks from our experts, 24/7 live video streaming with full replays of all VSiN shows, the college football betting guide with previews, predictions, and betting strategies, daily emails with best bets from all our shows, hosts, and guests. Plus, you can always access our parlay calculator, prop bet search engine, and pick tracker on vsin.com. Visit vsin.com/subscribe to start your risk-free trial today. That's vsin.com/subscribe. Matt Gill.
Thank you. We're going to do a little fantasy football with Danielle a little later on the show. Yes.
Yes. But first things first, we are 2 weeks into the season, so I feel like we have to talk about end of the season awards.
Oh, obviously.
Football?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
If obviously. You're not first, you're last, right? So it's about time we talk about them. NFL MVP, the front runner, now. Russell Wilson, 3-1.
3-1.
Opened third best at odds with 10-1. Now he's at 3-1.
I said during the game on Sunday night, I can't wait to see what Russell Wilson's number is going to be tomorrow morning. Because if it's anything 4-1 or better, I would still play it. 3-1 is, I don't know if I want to play that. He's definitely the front runner. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you why, additionally, I think he's the front runner. This buzz has started to creep in now to the mainstream media. Chris Collinsworth talked about this on Sunday night on the broadcast, on the national broadcast. We've been saying it on VSiN, on the Vegas Stats and Information Network, not just on my show, but throughout the network for over a year. Russell Wilson has never received a single MVP vote. It's the most amazing stat in all of sports. And Collinsworth mentioned that on the broadcast the other night. So that's a great narrative that could translate to sort of sympathetic votes.
Right.
All things being equal, it should go to him. I think he's the front runner for sure. 3-1? I don't know. Don't love it.
3-1 is pretty short, especially when you consider like the people that are behind him that you're getting a better number on and kind of like their path to winning as well. So Lamar Jackson's 5-1 and Patrick Mahomes is 5-1, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, and so better odds on both of those guys in a case where if you look at this Ravens team and they're not going to go undefeated, but you kind of look down the schedule and you kind of see how these teams are starting to play out. It's pretty easy to see a 14-2 season for this Ravens team.
For the Ravens team. Yeah. And let's not forget, they were unbelievable regular season last year, too.
Like, you can look down the schedule now and kind of easily get to a 14-2 team, and that is going to put Lamar Jackson right in the middle of the conversation.
You know who, I agree with that. Yeah. You know who I would not bet, Danielle and Matt, is Patrick Mahomes at 5-1. Not because I don't think he's the greatest and phenomenal and perhaps generational. Already a Super Bowl winner, for goodness sakes. But think about that when it comes to voting. These are human beings voting now. This is not based on what's happening on the field in the end. It is, but then human beings get to vote on such a thing. Patrick Mahomes might already, in this short career of his, already have gravitated into the LeBron range of you could give it to him every year if you wanted to.
Belichick coach of the year thing, the whole nine yards.
And so, however our human brains are wired, because you could give it to him every year, some people then tend not to.
Right.
Unless he's MVP, unless he's a Super Bowl winner again, but you vote on these, I believe, beforehand. Mm-hmm. But unless he does something just leaps and bounds more spectacular.
He has to top himself?
Yeah, he has to top himself. That's right. Yeah. Look, we saw LeBron, when he only got 16 first place votes this year for MVP, sit there in a press conference and go, he was upset about it. And then he was like, yeah, but I'm good. Well, it sounds like you're not good about it, right? Like, it sounds like you're upset.
I mean, it's 16 honestly. More than I got, so.
It is.
I saw a really good tweet on this earlier I wanted to bring in. Matt Brown, M2, just read an article asking if Josh Allen is really a contender for MVP. he's a believer in Allen's skills, but we're 2 games into the season, and the Bills have played the Jets and the Dolphins. So Josh Allen at 20-1.
Yeah.
Matt.
I mean, that's the thing. There's all this hype about Josh Allen. I believe in Josh Allen's skills. I was, you know, I was kind of on this guy last year, even as far as potential goes. But I mean, everybody's saying like now, oh my God, look at these statistics through 2 games. Like, yeah, they're very impressive against 2 bottom feeders in the NFL. Like, give me, let's pump the brakes just a tad. Like, let's get a team with a pulse and then maybe let's reevaluate just a little bit.
Can I tell you who I like further down on that board though?
Yeah.
Kyler Murray, 14-1.
Not
only along with Russell Wilson and Lamar Jackson, is he the guy that you hate betting against when you're living through a bet?
Mm-hmm.
But he's the guy that if the NFC East top to bottom is perhaps the worst division in all of football, and by the way, it pains me to say that. I grew up in D.C. where the Washington football team, the Cowboys and the Giants were winning Super Bowls galore in the 80s and 90s. But the NFC West might get all 4 teams into the playoffs. Like, there is a scenario now that they've expanded the playoffs in football, pro football, where you have 3 wild cards. They all might come from that division, just that possibility alone. If Kyler Murray and the Cardinals, with the 49ers being banged up, obviously it's very early in the season, but if they somehow win that division, I think 14-1 on Kyler Murray is actually a live bet.
Well, what I like to do is be able to draw a direct line to the scenario playing out, right?
Okay.
And so with that, not only are they going to be winning the division, which will likely play out to be the most difficult division in all the NFL, he's also knocking off the front runner probably once, if not twice, along the way,
Russell Wilson
as well. Mm-hmm. So right. Not only that is it, not only are they coming out of the division that we're going to consider to be the toughest, but he's also beating the guy that has the shorter odds along the way. One of the other guys is coming down.
Very good point.
So I really, really like Kyler Murray because, again, it's very easy to kind of draw that line to not only is it a tough division, but his head-to-head opponent going down as well.
Not to mention this. Let's look at the schedule right now. They're 2-0 already. The Cardinals having beaten the Niners as an upset, as a dog, and then mm-hmm. beating the Washington football team. They've got the Lions at home. By the way, home and road, not meeting right. as much this year. But they've got the Lions at the Panthers at the Jets.
They're 5-0.
Apologies again to Jets fans. You could be looking at a 5-0 team before they go and play the Cowboys on Monday Night Football and then the Seahawks mm-hmm. before the bye. So these things seep into voters' minds. Right. Oh, wait, that's the 5-0 team. They'll remember, you know, how great of a start this team had and what a great season it has been, or at that time has been, for the Cardinals. So
right.
I think that's a good bet at 14-1.
I do want to get this one into odds to win Offensive Rookie of the Year, Joe Burrow at +175. Matt, do we like that?
Yeah, I mean, you could have got him at like 225 or something.
Isn't your head exploding though? Because you've got Burrow and Edwards-Helaire, two of your guys.
I know.
How do you do this?
I know. I mean, they want to give it to a quarterback. I would imagine they really want to give it to guy that went number one overall. I think it'd be tough for Clyde to take it away from Joe, unless, you know, injury's always out there.
Right.
Injuries are. Yeah.
Well, we don't wish that upon anybody. Yeah. But yeah, I think you're right. Your instinct for that it will be a quarterback, all things being equal. Matt, as a LSU alum, by the way, Edwards-Helaire 2-1, the next shortest shot after Joe Burrow at +175 at DraftKings. LSU alum, conflicted, Matt Brown. We're coming back. It's VSiN's Primetime Action, powered by DraftKings.
The DraftKings Sportsbook app now. New customers get a no-brainer odds boost of 100-1 on any pro football team to win in week 3. It's easy. Just sign up for the DraftKings Sportsbook app with promo code VSIN, bet $1 on any team to win in week 3, and if they do, you walk away with $100. Don't forget to use code VSIN when you sign up. Must be 21 or older. New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit the DraftKings Sportsbook app for offer details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Gillum, I to understand we have great NBA mind, JVT, with us.
I think not only are you to understand that, but if I would go to rehearsal, I would have understood that as well. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is Jonathan Von Tobel from the Vegas Stats and Information Network, host of The Edge at SiriusXM Channel 204 every weekday morning at 12 noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern. JVT, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well, Gil, although I will say I have to admit that it was a good thing your producer Kelly told me, because I forgot as well. He booked me on Saturday, and then I was doing my own thing.
We're peeling back the curtain here a little bit. Just let everyone in. Like, yeah, we're letting in all the secrets. It's
what else went wrong, we should say, on air?
Dom was kind enough to come on the radio side this morning, and we had a spirited discussion about that. Should Gruden have kicked the field goal or not? John, you're still with me. You still say it worked out for the Raiders, but it should have been a punt.
100%.
Yeah. Yeah. We're still there. I haven't been swayed all day either. All right. No. So NBA, Matt is not with us.
I'm not with you on that.
He's not with us.
Not with you on that.
Oh, well, what can you do?
Yeah, no.
We got time to sway.
Hey, you guys can't win them all.
Tonight, Game 3, Lakers and the Nuggets. We are back to this series where obviously could have been 1-1, but Anthony Davis went ahead and sunk the 3-pointer at the buzzer in Game 2. That sunk in turn the Nuggets. Right now, as you and I have discussed before, Game 3, 6.5 at DraftKings. Lakers favored by 6.5. Total 214.5. We talked a little bit about puncher's chance with the Nuggets still. Obviously, they've been down 2 games in their previous 2 series against the Jazz and the Clippers, respectively. So we can't say that they're out of this unless these Lakers, you feel, are far different from the Clippers and the Jazz, and maybe you do think they're done. What do you think here?
I mean, I think they're different from the sense of like Gil. Like, I don't think the Nuggets are coming back and forcing a game seven. Do I think that this team is going to be competitive every single game, including tonight and going forward? You know, whether it be six games or five games. Yeah, like I definitely think this team is going to fight every single game. And, you know, and like you and I talked about on your show this morning, game two represented much more of what I thought this series was going to be on a game to game basis than game one did. And even in game one, they went out and they scored 38 points on the best defensive team in the NBA in the first quarter. So they still showed that they had that pop. And I think there was just a whole bunch of energy lost and, you know, coming back from that deficit and only getting 2 days off. So I think from that perspective, like, I didn't think the Nuggets really were going to win this series, but if we're talking on a night to night basis and we're talking about like a 6.5 point spread, this Nuggets team is going to fight and claw and give them everything they possibly can, no matter how long this series lasts.
As you're looking through this, we were kind of trying to find different ways to bet this thing. Ended up on the Lakers first half, -3.5 in this thing. You look back at how this Nuggets team has played, and they have been down at the half in 8 of their last 9 games. Have you seen anything in your research as to why that might be? Are they making halftime adjustments and playing better in the second half? Are they just colder in the first half? Is this just completely complete noise and completely random? What's going on with all that?
You know, to be honest with you, Matt, like I've watched, I've read, I've looked, like, I don't understand this team falling into the holes that they do, whether it's a series, whether it's a game. You know, we're talking about consecutive games in which they have faced, you know, double digit deficits. I think it's, we're going back to, is it 5 consecutive games now that they have faced double digit deficits at some time in their games? It might even be 6, but regardless, you know, you talk about the first half, and I would agree with that for the most part because of what we've seen from this team. But despite that, Matt, they're a team that has played 16 postseason games and they're 11-5 against the closing spread. So this is a team that for the games that they have played do not give up. And by the time they get to the buzzer at the end of the contest, they are a team that covers these numbers. They're a team that's undervalued by the betting market. But when it comes to first halves, and I don't know if it's, you know, Mike Malone making, like you said, adjustments, like seeing and kind of feeling out your opponent, staying within those 10 points and then making adjustments at halftime and outplaying them, whether it's Jokic, who maybe is a little, I don't know, tired early in games and gets going late. You know, Murray, it tends to be a little boom or bust, having really big quarters, but then outside of that, not really putting it out through an entire game. Like, there's so many different little factors to it, but the two things that I know are, one, we have seen this team face double-digit deficits in every single one of these games since the beginning of that Jazz series, and the end of that Jazz series, and the other part of this is that this is a team that out of the 16 games they've covered 11, and so I know that one thing is for sure, this market seems to undervalue them, and that's the only thing I can really put my finger on at this point, because it's so odd, the first half, second half split between these two.
Talking to Jonathan Von Tobel from the Vegas Stats and Information Network, and I mean, look, if that shot doesn't go in, right, it's a whole different narrative that we're talking about right now. It's 1-1. It's like, oh, the Nuggets, they won't die. They're live once again against these Lakers. And then obviously the series price would be so much different. You bring up Mike Malone. Let me seize on that for a second. Eric Spoelstra, who obviously is the coach of the Heat, I've said often on this show, that's a guy I trust implicitly to make adjustments. We've seen it, as you and I have talked about, JVT, about playing zone defense against the Celtics. We trust Brad Stevens. With apologies to Greg Popovich, maybe those two guys are the best coaches in the NBA that are currently in the Eastern Conference Final. Do you trust Mike Malone to figure out a way to counter these Los Angeles Lakers?
I think I do, because I at least have 6 games this year, Gil, that has shown that they play the Lakers really tight. And, you know, whether, you know, and I get that they're right now at this point 1-5 against the Los Angeles Lakers, but they have covered, I believe it's 4 of those games, right? And so, like, at this point right now, he at least has shown that he has some sort of a game plan that keeps them within certain games within the Los Angeles Lakers. Right? I mean, look at 2 of the last 3 games that they have played in Orlando. They played 3 games in Orlando, 2 playoff games, 1 in the seeding games. The Lakers need a buzzer beater for 2 of them. It was the Kyle Kuzma game winner, right, in the seeding games, and it was this buzzer beater from Anthony Davis to win game 2. And so at least from that perspective, I have a little faith that Malone knows what he's doing with this Los Angeles Lakers team, and he's able to at least stay within the game. But the straight-up results haven't been there, and I guess that's the difference, right? Like, differences with him or a coach like Eric Spoelstra or Brad Stevens, their adjustments ultimately lead them to victory. Mike Malone has made adjustments, but he just can't get there yet. And whether that means they're about to burst onto the scene and get one of these victories, because they do have a double-digit win over the Lakers, but it was all the way back in December. Or is this just going to be another one of those things where they just play the Lakers really tight, but ultimately the team with the better top-end talent and Anthony Davis and LeBron James, you know, ultimately went out? And sometimes, like we talked about this with the Clippers series, Gil, sometimes all the numbers in the world, sometimes it's just anecdotal. And sometimes in the NBA, when it's a single-possession game and you have two of the best players on the planet, ultimately you're going to come out on top. And we have seen that at least in two out of the last three games with these two teams.
We were trying to have some fun with some of these props that are listed over at DraftKings. We were talking about top point score of the game. They even have some head-to-heads listed as Jamal Murray versus LeBron James. We were kind of throwing that around as well. Did you look at any of the props for this game? Was there anything that kind of stuck out to you?
You know, Matt, maybe you could tell me if you have one. I'm really interested in a point total prop for a guy. Because through two games, Paul Millsap has scored a total of 11 points. And Paul Millsap, out of all the guys that we have seen on the floor, is really bothered by the length that the Lakers provide, right? Like, no matter what, it was great when you rewatch game two. And the guy who's playing power forward, you know, a lot of the times if he's getting a screen, he's from another big, and he's either getting LeBron James switched on to him or Anthony Davis switched on to him. If he beats the guy, there's another big in Dwight Howard or JaVale McGee waiting for him at the rim. He hasn't been able to finish at the rim. Like, he got blocked by Danny Green the other day. It just hasn't been a good series for him, and the length and the defensive prowess has really bothered Paul Millsap. And I think this is a series where he's going to be relatively quiet, and we've seen it through two games, and I think it's something that's going to continue for him. So I think a guy like Paul Millsap is a guy that I would look at if you found a point total prop to play under. As far as the other guys, like a guy like Michael Porter Jr., where you're facing a bench that you have a very big size advantage against, right? You're talking about key role players like Alex Caruso, Rajon Rondo, smaller guys that you're going to be matching up with if you're Michael Porter Jr. And for the most part, he has shown, especially in game two, right, he had 15 points, that he can have some success. So those are the two we're looking for. But in terms of most confidence, whatever you're finding with Paul Millsap, depending on what the number is, I'd be pretty confident playing him under.
Millsap 8.5. The over is the underdog. Michael Porter Jr. 10.5. The over is the favorite on those two guys.
Kind of along the lines of thinking, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Last thing here, JVT, can we throw up the NBA Finals MVP prop that DraftKings have, this derivative market? Cause this is interesting. Obviously the Nuggets are down 2 in the West. So those guys are going to have long odds in terms of NBA Finals MVP, because long shot to get there at this point. With the Heat and the Celtics, a little more interesting. So right now, LeBron is the short shot, makes sense, along with Anthony Davis, plus 120 and plus 170, respectively. But then this is where it gets interesting, JVT. Jimmy Butler, 12-1. Jason Tatum, 13-1. Here would be mine, guys. Bam Adebayo at 22-1. Dragic, 26-1. Kemba, 40-1. Jaylen Brown, 50-1. Marcus Smart, 71. So just a smattering of Celtics and Heat. And then Jokic, 80-1. Again, two games in the hole against the Lakers. Anything stick out there to you?
I think Adebayo would probably be the top one. He'd be the only Heat player I'd be comfortable with.
Yeah,
maybe a really long shot on like a Tyler Hero, considering he's been playing the most minutes in the fourth quarter for this team in the series. But outside of that, they're such a good ball sharing team. And on a night to night basis with Miami, it's a different guy almost every time. Like, Adebayo's the one consistent with them. So I would agree with that, Gil. I think that's the one. And obviously with the Celtics, it's pretty easy to look at the two guys and essentially just look at Tatum and being like, look, if they're going to win the finals, it's obviously going to be him carrying them offensively. And he's probably their best shot at winning Finals MVP.
Jeremy Grant, 3.5 rebounds, over or under? No, I'm kidding. You don't have to do that.
Hero 100-1, by the way.
Hero, go get it, John. 100-1?
Yeah, go get it, John.
That dude is confident.
For a young guy, he's ridiculous.
There is no stage too big for that kid.
Comparable rookie stats to Dwayne Wade. I think that says enough.
Wow.
Duncan Robinson, 300-1.
All right. Well, you never know. Jonathan Von Tobel, everybody, from the Vegas Stats and Information Network, hosting The Edge Monday through Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern. Thank you, JVT. Appreciate it as always, man.
Thank you for having me, guys.
Jonathan Von Tobel.
When did you make that graphic, Kelly? The MVP Finals MVP graphic. Was that this morning?
Three hours.
Already, LeBron is now even money. Anthony Davis, 2-1.
Where's Bam still, though? 22-1?
He's still 22-1, but like, the money on LeBron has come in.
Yeah, I mean, look, people love public teams and people love a superstar. But value-wise, Bam to me would be the guy. Bam Adebayo at 22-1. But again, lots of basketball to be played. The Heat and the Celtics game 4 tomorrow night, with the Celtics trying to even up that series at 2 games apiece. We are minutes away now from game 3 of the Lakers and the Nuggets. We will bet our way through that. It's coming up. We'll update all the baseball as well. I'm looking good right now. You know what that means. Sweat. Coming up, VSiN's Primetime Action, powered by DraftKings.